I love them. I don't care what anybody thinks. I love the Beatles for them, and I'll always love them. Even when I'm 105 and an old grandmother, I'll love them.
Hi, everyone. Thank you all for being here today, and welcome to another great, fantabulous, wonderful episode of the She Loves You podcast. If you're new here, this is the She Loves You podcast. I'm your host, Natalia, and this is where we talk about the incredible, inspiring women in the Beatles' lives. Everyone from the wives, the girlfriends, the family members, the colleagues, the friends, and even the rumored affairs, which, you know, will be fun to talk about. So thank you to everybody who has been listening. And the last episode on Cynthia Lennon has got such an amazing reception, and I could not be more thankful for that. It seems that you guys really, really loved that episode, which I'm so happy about, because I put like my heart and soul into it. I put my heart and soul to every episode, but I really, really, really wanted to get that one right. So I'm really, really happy that I was able to make it as amazing as I hoped. I re-recorded that episode so freaking many times. But you know, you want to get it right. You want to give these ladies justice, right? So I took my time with it. But again, thank you to everyone who's been listening. And if you're new here, go ahead and check out the last few episodes that I did. The last episode, like I mentioned, was on Miss Cynthia Lennon and her incredible influence on John Lennon and the Beatles' lives, as well as why I actually think she's the fifth Beatle. So you can go check that out. It's our last episode, and also my intro if you are still new here and don't really know much about me. I'm Natalia. I'm your host, and I'm crazy about the Beatles, and particularly the women in their lives. Good segue. But yeah, if you haven't heard, go ahead. All my episodes are available on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts. And if you go to my Instagram, the She Loves You podcast, the link to listen is down there if you can't find me on any of the streaming platforms. But yeah, so thank you guys again so much on the last episode, and I'm so happy that we all love Cynthia as much as I do. So it's been great. And I'm really happy with the way that this is going, because I was really so worried that I wouldn't do these ladies justice, but I feel like I'm kind of getting my groove, because, you know, I think podcasts take time, and I'm getting my groove with it, so I'm pretty happy. But thank you again to all who have listened. As I mentioned before, I'm going to start the episodes with the main, I guess, four women in the Beatles' lives in terms of their significant others. I'm talking about like the OG girls, right? You know, Cynthia, Jane, Patty, and Maureen. So I'm going to start with them, like I mentioned, just if we're kind of trying to keep like a follow of who I'm going to be speaking about. But yeah, just in case you're like, oh, why is she only talking about, you know, this person and maybe not that person? I'm just trying to keep like a succinct list, because I think, in my crazy mind, so many lists going on up there, but I'm trying to keep it all as organized as possible. So, like I said, the last episode we spoke about Cynthia, since she was John's wife. But I'd like to talk about today an amazing, incredible, probably my second favorite Beatle girl, Jane Asher. So I'm like really, really excited to talk about Jane, and in a different way from Cynthia, because you know, Cynthia's my girl, you know, I love her and she's my favorite Beatle girl, but I think Jane, she's probably my second, and for many, many reasons that I'll specify later on. But you know, I'm really excited, and I think the interesting thing about Jane is she's one of those figures that is, you know, if you're a big Beatles fan, you know Jane, you know who she is. But beyond that, you know who she is because she's a very successful actress in her own right, which I think is so interesting. But she's one of also those figures that you might know about, but you don't really know about, because she is a very private person. And I think that's the wonderful thing about Jane, is that she's never really spoken about her life with Paul at all. Like, not really. A little bit in the 60s, but that was more you know, because they were the couple that everyone loved and whatnot. But she's a very private lady, and I like to respect that privacy. I will only be talking about things that I've read about that are in Beatle books and so on, because we don't really know, right, what happened. And we probably won't know. And that's fine, because, again, these are also people that lived lives, and we can't ever just assume that they're going to one day tell us because it's something that we deserve, because ultimately, again, these are people's private lives, you know. But again, I'm going off of things that I've just read on Beatle blogs and Beatle books and from interviews and, you know, word of mouth, Paul himself. Speaking of which, there's a wonderful quote that I think just sums up, you know, the whole Jane Paul thing. "I always feel very weary, including Jane in the Beatles' history. She's never gone into print about our relationship, whilst everyone on Earth has sold their story. So I'd feel weird being the one to kiss and tell," which is a quote said by Paul, which I think pretty much sums things up. She's, like I said, she's never talked about anything. And again, we're probably never going to hear it, but that's okay, because privacy, right? But I'm going to try to dive a little bit into Miss Jane Asher and why I think her role is, like Cynthia's, a very underrated one, but a very, very important one. All right, so I'm going to dive a little bit into her life. Again, I don't like to do full biographies because I think it's redundant. And if you really want to find out more about Jane, please go online. but I'll give a brief biography, which, I don't know if they're brief, but I like to keep it short. So, Miss Jane Asher, she was born in April of 1945. Her parents were Richard and Margaret Asher. She was born in London, so she was a London girl from early on. Her father, Richard, was a consultant of blood and mental disease at a hospital in London. I'm not sure which one. And her mother, Margaret, was a professor of music at the Guildhall School of Music, which is a very important lady, which is just so cool. I mean, imagine being able to say, like, oh, yeah, my dad's a, you know, psychiatrist, and my mom's a music teacher at the Guildhall School of Music. You know, that's no easy feat. That's incredible. So she grew up not rich, but they were a little more sophisticated in, you know, compared to, say, Paul's Liverpool upbringing, which was a little more on the rough side. But she grew up in a very sophisticated household. They were people that were really educated and really into the arts and music and literature, which was installed into Jane from a very young age. And it's fascinating because it shows, you know, in the lady that she became, which is wonderful. So when Jane was a child, she and her brother Peter, which I should mention, Jane also had a brother Peter and a sister Claire. But her brother Peter and her were born with really super red hair, which made them very made them appear more distinct, and they had a look that was sellable, which is great. So when they were children, they began acting. And in 1952 specifically, Jane made her film debut as a actress. I'm not sure which film it was, but she made her debut in 1952 when she was a little girl. She starred in many movies from then on, many movies, many TV movies, and TV. She gained a lot of popularity as a child actress, and eventually became kind of London's sweetheart. Not only because she was, really pretty, but just because she was very sweet and, was a fan favorite of a lot of people. She would go on to be in many, many films in her career, including with successful, amazing actors such as Vincent Price and Michael Caine. And she became also, like I said, a fan favorite, appearing in many TV kind of programs, being like panelist, for example, on Jukebox Jewelry, which was a very successful teen show at the time, because she was a teen around this time as well. So she was kind of the it in London and what was going on, and kind of the forward thinking London girls, they would say. But yeah, she became a fan favorite and was very, very successful in her own right. While her brother Peter ended up doing music instead, she continued with acting and became a favorite. But that brings us to the elusive meeting of Mr. Paul McCartney. So as I said, Jane was a panelist for Jukebox Jury, which was a very successful teen show. And because she had this notoriety in the teen world and was very successful, she was asked to attend a Beatles concert at, I believe it was the Royal Albert Hall, but I'm probably so wrong. But she was asked to attend for a teen magazine that wanted her opinion on all the groups that were going to be playing, because it wasn't just the Beatles, it was a bunch of other people that were playing. So she was asked to give her opinion and what she thought of the groups. And, well, Jane liked all the groups, but it wasn't until the Beatles went on that she said, oh, well, this is a group you should be watching. This is a great group. And she instantly loved them like every other teen. But she appreciated them for the music and what they were doing to everybody. So it was pretty amazing for her to see. So, of course, like any young girl of the time, she she wanted to meet them, of course, and the magazine said, of course, we'd love to have you all meet and you can sort of give your reaction on it. And so she met the group, and her and Paul essentially hit it off quite well immediately, which is, you know, so sweet and lovely. You know, being a young girl and a really nice, attractive guy, especially in this big group, wants to talk to you, of course, who isn't going to fall for it? But, you know, they had a very, very deep connection. The crazy thing is they, you know, talked about things that are, you know, you would usually do on a first date, like their first meal, like their favorite meal and what they liked and their dislikes. And it was an immediate connection, which is so sweet and very lovely. Paul, I think, is quoted as saying, you know, I knew that she was the girl for me that night. And it's just so, so sweet. There's a quote that Cynthia Lennon actually says in her book that, she essentially says, Paul fell like a ton of bricks for Jane, which is, it's such a sweet way to say that someone has fallen so hard for someone. And it's just so sweet, that earliness of their relationship and how, they just fell for each other, you know. I mean, who wouldn't? She's Jane Asher, you know, I'd fall for her. But essentially, they hit it off so well that they began dating, and it was on all the magazines, and everyone was reporting on it. You know, here's Jane Asher and Paul McCartney, famous actress, famous rock and roll star, you know. So it was, they were kind of like the it couple of their time, really. And actually, they hit it off so well that by December of 1963, the year that they met, Paul ended up moving in with the Ashers, which was really, really quite interesting. He thought it was a good arrangement because he was sort of traveling a lot and he didn't necessarily want a place of his own at the moment, and he wanted somewhere to just come and be able to sleep, you know, when he was not touring. So he liked the Ashers enough to want to move in with them, and it was a good arrangement. The best thing about this arrangement particularly was, like I mentioned, Jane's mother was a music teacher. So the Ashers actually had a music room in their house. It was kind of near the basement area. And Paul was able to really create the greatest Beatles songs in that room. So it was a highly important place to be at that point. And it's sort of where a lot of these hits that we all know and love were created. So, you know, it's thanks to the Ashers and thanks to that sort of inspiration that hit him. And I'm assuming it was love as well, you know, a new relationship, you're going to get inspired. But that music, you know, that family music room was the place. It was the center of where he could be the most creative. And he and John, again, like I said, wrote all the hits that we know and love there. You know, to me, that just says how important Jane Asher was and what she did for Paul. So it's wonderful. As the years went by, they had a loving relationship that came with a lot of complications, though. They were in love with each other, but like I always say, love isn't necessarily enough. And usually, unfortunately, for a lot of these music, you know, celebrity marriages, you may love someone, but that doesn't mean that you should be together. But like I said, there was a lot of complications. A lot of it had to do with Paul's infidelities. Again, this is unfortunately most of the case with most rock stars. There's going to be infidelities, and Paul was not any different on that. I think he believed, or I don't know, I mean, I don't really know what he believed, but I like to think it was more like he thought that because they weren't married, it didn't necessarily matter. He could do what he wanted, so... You know, he was off the hook on that, but, you know, that is what it is. But, like, yeah, there was a lot of infidelity. And it also really just came down to the conflicting personalities that they had and the expectations that they had out of the relationship. Like I said, they loved each other, but Jane was a successful actress in her own right. She was a very independent-minded woman, which I love and I respect so much. And she was not going to be tied down by anyone, especially not Paul McCartney. You know, she said, my acting career comes first. This is what I do, and you have to respect that. And I think Paul liked that in the beginning. He loved how independent she was and what a star she was in her own right. But as... You know, it turns out after a while, Paul realized, I don't want an actress. I want a wife. I want a mother. I want not a housewife, but I want someone to be there with me, you know? So, and he was young as well, you know? So he, even as young as he was, he still had that kind of old school male mentality, which is fine. I mean, you can want that. There's nothing wrong with that. But it was definitely not the mentality that Jane, only being 18, 19 years old at the time, wanted. She wanted the independence. She wanted her acting career. She was young. She did not want to be held down. She loved Paul, you know, and he loved her, but it wasn't enough. So that caused a lot of issues. And a lot of his songs at the time reflected that, like You Won't See Me and, you know, For No One, which are very, if you listen to the lyrics, they're incredibly heartbreaking, because you have this couple that they love each other, but it's impossible to have the conflicting personalities that you do and be able to stay together. And unfortunately, it was only a matter of time until it just went south, you know. By 1967, they'd been on and off for a while, and I think what happened is they broke up for a time, and Paul realized that he just was miserable without her, and he really, really wanted to be with her. So that Christmas, when they got back together, he proposed to her, which, you know, it's interesting, because every time I read about what the Beatles thought of their relationship, or anybody in the circle, they all say, oh, you know, well, of course they were going to get married. We expected it, you know? It would have been weird if they hadn't gotten engaged or anything. So I think it was a long time coming, the proposal, but at the same time, they weren't in a good place. And the proposal just should not have happened, really. It wasn't going to happen, and it would have happened. And it was evident, you know. They went to India together and tried to make it work, and they were very much in love, from all accounts on the trip. But it just was fizzling, because Jane realized that we want different things. And unfortunately, she caught Paul with a secretary from Apple in their bed, because they, by this time, they had moved into a house together. But she caught him, and it was not good. She sent her mother to get her things, which is so sad. And that was the end of it. She broke up with him. And from all accounts, from what I've read, Paul was essentially heartbroken over the breakup. He could not believe it. He was in complete despair, and he was just horrible. He was horrible and just in the worst place. And he said, you know, I'm never going to find someone as wonderful and amazing. But, you know, that's sort of the price, man. That's what you get when you mess around and you don't take, you don't take responsibility for your actions. Not to judge, because we don't judge here, folks. But, you know, it's what do you expect? Like, what did you expect? But yeah, unfortunately, the relationship ended. And it was hard for both of them, obviously. But Jane was young, And she moved on and she continued to act, being very successful. She dated around here and there. She dated a director of one of her films, while Paul found love in his soulmate, Linda McCartney. And I think you all know where the rest goes for them. But, you know, he found love again and it was wonderful. Jane did as well. She met Gerald Scarfe, who was a political cartoonist. He was a bit older than her, a couple years older than her. But by all accounts, it was complete love and devotion, and they were together for many, many years. They had one daughter named Katie and two sons named Alex and Rory. They were together, like I said, for many, many years before actually getting married. But in 1981, they were married and were so in love. And to this day, they are still together and an incredible couple. And I'm so, so pleased that Jane was able to find happiness after it all. And especially with a man like Gerald, who's incredible and very talented and wonderful in his own right. So she got an amazing family and an amazing career. And that's her life. That's a bit of her life story. But yeah, she's a truly incredible lady, and her life really reflects that. She lived through such an amazing period of history, and, you know, was in love with someone who's an amazing person in history twice, you know. But again, she doesn't really talk about it much, which has always been really interesting to me. I such a private person, yet also very public, you know. If y'all don't know, like, I think I might have mentioned in my intro, I'm an actor. So it is that line, right, that we kind of cross of you're in the public eye, yet you want your privacy. It's always very difficult. So I think it's interesting that she always kind of treaded that line of, yes, I'm a public figure, but no, I do not need to be talking about my life. And with all right, I mean, she even said, you know, I don't need to be speaking about this. I'm happily married. I moved on, which totally makes sense. So there's that. But she's lived a really, really incredible life, and I think she's just incredible. I think she's wonderful. So I think something I'm going to start to do is some fun facts, because I think we're always interested in knowing more. And I was reading and researching, and like I might have posted in my latest Instagram post, it's been such a wonderful thing to be able to read about her and just the interesting things about her life. It's so much fun. Here are some fun facts that I found out while I was researching. Like I said, the Ashers were a very sophisticated family. They came from a highly educated background and instilled that in their children. Like I said, Paul lived with the Ashers for about 3 years or so. And like I said, they were very sophisticated. Paul is quoted as saying, this is not the quote, but he says something to the effect of, the Ashers would always have dinner together, and when I was there, I would observe, and they would play word games, like, you know, like very, like, not charades, but in the form of, you know, like, equate this word with another word or things like that. And Paul was really amazed because he'd never seen something like that, given the fact that his mother died when he was very young, and it was really only him, his father, and his brother Mike. So it was not necessarily one big, you know, crazy family, but it was a small one where you know, his father was not the most educated, you know, for example, like Mr. Asher. So it was very different because Paul had never seen a family that was bright and funny and quick and witted, and it was just something that he loved about them. And I think that's also why he loved Jane so much, is that she showed him things that he never was able to, you know, see before. So another fun fact that I found was that in 1970, when Let It Be was released, at that point, John was already married to Yoko. Paul was with Linda. But I read this somewhere, and it could be completely wrong, But I was reading that Jane and Cynthia actually went to the Let It Be film premiere together, which I find so fascinating because both ladies were not with their significant others anymore, and yet they were going to see a film about their ex-significant others. And it's I like to imagine that scenario, like, oh my gosh, here they go, the two exes together. So it's pretty funny, given the Beatles were not at the premiere, so I think it might have been okay for them to go, but it's wonderful. And I love girls sticking together and, you know, sort of a revenge is sweet type of thing. Another thing is that in 1963, when the Beatles were meeting Jane for the first time after the show, I think John said something to the effect of, "We all thought Jane Asher was a blonde, you know, because we'd only seen her on TV up until that point. And then when we saw her red hair, we couldn't believe it. We were amazed because we did not think that she would be a redhead, because they all thought she was blonde. They all had that Brigitte Bardot mindset. So it was pretty funny when they met her and they got that surprise that she was a feisty redhead. There's another one. Okay, so like I mentioned, Jane's brother was Peter Asher. And if you don't know who Peter Asher is, he actually is from the famed group Peter and Gordon. And they went on to record some Beatles songs and were very successful in their own right and toured in the United States. But yeah, he was part of Peter and Gordon. And Peter actually was a lifelong consultant of Apple Records, even after Jane and Paul broke up. And he and Paul actually worked together for many, many years and stayed friends. And Peter is a frequent visitor of Beatles Fest and so on, and he's a truly amazing person in Beatles history. And you know, I think, you know, an episode on him would be really cool, even if he isn't a woman. I think just talking about Peter would be wonderful because he's a great book, and I really enjoyed reading it. Okay, so Jane's mother, like I mentioned, she was a music teacher at the Guildhall School of Music. So she taught a lot of really talented people at the time. And one of those talented people was not only Paul McCartney, whom she actually taught the recorder for Fool on the Hill, fun fact, but she also taught George Martin, which is incredible. Such a small world, right? Like how these worlds all intersected at one point. But she did. She taught George Martin, who went on to become the Beatles producer, if you didn't know, which is sort of an amazing thing. Very, very small world, like I said. But also, yes, she did teach Paul the recorder, and he was able to play it on Fool on the Hill. And I would say another thing is that, oh yeah, at their meeting in 1963, like I mentioned, Jane, she liked all of them a lot. And actually, one particular Beatle caught her eye, and it was not Paul. When she first saw them at first glance, George was actually her favorite. She thought he was very cute and was very interested in speaking to him. And I'm sure he probably thought the same thing. But Paul ended up winning over her affections, and the rest is history. But it's so funny to me. Like, wow, you know, she probably liked George first. What would have been, right? Life has a funny way of working out. But yeah, that's just some fun facts. There's another one that I completely forgot to mention. So you all know the Turtles, I'm assuming. They have their hits Eleanor and what's the song called? I'm so bad with names, but they have another song that's really, really popular. In 1967, the Turtles were actually invited to England, and at that point, they were really excited because the Beatles were from England, and the Beatles were one of their idols as a group. You know, I think a lot of 60s bands idolize the Beatles, you know, as they should. And one of the members in particular, the lead singer, actually worked with Peter beforehand, and they met, and he was really, really excited to be able to meet his idols. And when he met the Beatles one night at a club, Jane happened to be there with Paul. That night they were having a bit of a fight, so it wasn't necessarily a good night. Paul was being a little bit obnoxious with John, as expected, and she was really, really, really angry. So she decided to storm off because she just couldn't handle Paul's attitude that night. And this member of the Turtles, the lead singer, remembered that Jane was Peter's sister. And he, you know, tapped her on the shoulder as she was fuming and wanting to leave. And essentially, you know, said, "Hi, Miss Asher. I'm I completely forgot his name, but I'm so-and-so, and I'm in the Turtles, and I actually worked with your brother Peter. It's really great to meet you." Jane, because she was fuming, just yelled and basically said, "Sod off," you know, which is sort of a way to say fuck off in England. And she basically told Paul, you know, "If you want to be a jerk, go ahead and be a jerk. I don't need to be here," and stormed off, which it's actually like, it's not funny, but for some reason, I just find it amazing how she was able to be like, fuck off all of you and just leave, which I think is so great. And I love her for that. So go Jane, go girl. But yeah, those are some fun facts that I found out and some things that I just found really, really, interesting and wonderful. So yeah. So she's a truly incredible, incredible lady, as, you know, I've said many a time in this episode, and, you know, her life just shows that. But I think, you know, I wanted to just talk about her true importance and why I think, besides Cynthia, she might be the most important Beatle girl. So the first thing I wanted to just say is, like I said, her independence. She is an incredible lady when you think about the time that, you know, this all happened in the 60s. While the sexual revolution and women's rights were really starting to come to light, I think Jane is a wonderful example of, you know, women finally taking a stand and not having to say yes to particularly men and what they want, or to, you know, society conventions, you know. Like, she was a very classy lady and was smart and young and new and fresh, and she really did show the best things about the 60s and what women could be, as an, you know, independent actress, earning her own living, earning her own way, not having to depend on a husband or a man or anybody. So I think that's the wonderful thing about her as a person. And I think, you know, she really just brings a different light to the Beatle girls. She, you know, she, like I said, was independent and didn't really depend on Paul for anything, which I think is, it's interesting and it's wonderful, you know. So I love that. I love that. I also love how cultivated she is, how smart she was. Paul always said that he could have a conversation with her and it was, you know, the smartest one he probably would ever have. It was so different. And I think that's what's great about her. She was very, very smart. And I love that. I talked about also her privacy. She was a very private person. She did not need to talk about my life with Paul. I did not need to talk about anything that happened with him to this day, you know. And even in the 60s, she was a very private person, even though she did appear in a lot of teen magazines and was a frequent sort of a fan favorite. She still was very private in a lot of the things she did, and I think that's wonderful. And as an actor, I think I love her so much because I identify. I know what it's like to want to act for a living. I know that struggle, being a woman in this business. It's tough. It's tough. And I think Jane was very brave for being able to handle it, especially because, you know, not that acting is a man's world, but a lot of men run it. So it can be harder to juggle that world. And I think she did it excellently. And I think she's incredible in that aspect. And I think, you know, like Cynthia, she is so underrated in the history of the Beatles story, which boggles my mind because, like I said, she essentially was responsible for a lot of Paul's early music and a lot of the ways that Paul actually became very cultivated himself. You know, she would take him to art galleries and make sure that he knew everything about everything. There was a great quote by Ringo. I'm not quoting them verbatim, but when they went to Greece, if you don't know, Jane, Paul, Maureen, and Ringo went on a a trip to Greece in 1963, in early 1963. And Ringo and, you know, Paul were eager to go and sightsee, but they also just wanted to have fun, you know, have a vacation from the touring. So it became really like a fun adventure. But what I love about Jane, and I think it's so funny because I would so do something like this too, she wanted to see the museums, she wanted to see the statues, she wanted to see the historic architecture and talk about it, and, you know, make sure that Paul knew exactly what it all was. And it's so funny to me because Ringo was like, oh god, we just wanted to have fun, and here comes Jane wanting to talk about architecture, you know. So, but again, you're in Greece, how could you not talk about the architecture? But it's just wonderful that it just shows how cultivated she was, even at such a young age, being, I think she was only like 18 at the time, which is incredible, like truly, truly incredible. So I love that. I love how smart she was and how important she was into what Paul would become, and how everything that Paul essentially like did with music was a lot because of Jane. Another thing that I thought was so fascinating is the similarities between her and Cynthia, and a lot of what they went through as these, you know, significant others to these men. They both were together for, you know, a while. They both struggled in their relationships. Both men could be quite, you know, not the most faithful. They both dealt with a lot. Yet they went through the most together, and yet they kind of also broke up around the same time, which I think is also really interesting. So there's like those similarities, and, you know, seeing as they went to the Let It Be premiere together, it just shows that they were maybe closer than a lot of people think. So it's really, really interesting in that aspect. And I think finally, it's just, you know, how important she was, and, you know, more that she was more than a Beatle girl. She wasn't just a Beatle girl, because she's not just Paul McCartney's girlfriend. She's Jane Asher, the actress, the successful actress with her own life and with an incredible husband who loves her. So I think that's something very important to stress, is that she's her own person and should not just be defined as a Beatle girl. And I don't think any of these women should be defined just as Beatle girls. I think they are all incredible women in their own rights that happen to be or know these incredible men. So I think the wonderful Jane is an incredible person, muse, wife, mother, actress. And I'm really impressed with her, and that's why she's always just been, you know, my favorite. And as I mentioned and stressed, the majority of songs that Paul McCartney wrote during the early Beatle years were heavily inspired by Jane Asher or influenced by Jane Asher in some way. So I thought I'd do a little rundown of some of the songs that Jane has inspired or was heavily inspired by here. So the first one obviously being And I Love Her. It was sort of, Paul and Jane had been dating for a couple months by that point, and I think it's just a great sort of ballad of love that Paul wrote for Jane, and how wonderful their new relationship was. And it's very inventive with George's Spanish style guitar chord, so it's a wonderful song. The next one on the Hard Day's Night album, I would say, is Things We Said Today. A young love that is, you know, frequently not torn apart, but rather, you know, stopped by touring. That song just shows the love that Paul had for Jane, and how, even as young as they were, he was very much in love, and said that, you know, when I'm home, you know, what we mean today is that love, and that, you know, when I get home, I love you very much. So it's very, very sweet, sweet, sweet. The next song is on the Rubber Soul album, and it's called You Won't See Me, as I said a while ago. You Won't See Me is sort of the first of the sad songs in the Paul and Jane catalog. This was sort of a song of Paul really just frustrated with the way that his and Jane's relationship was going. Again, her being a busy actress, she probably couldn't get to the phone as many times, and Paul trying to reach her, you know, with his busy schedule, it was frustrating, and it got to the point where they it feels like they just couldn't get through to each other, you know, metaphorically as well. And I think that was also the beginning of their really big problems in seeing how Paul wanted a girlfriend, I think, that would be there all the time. And Jane was not going to be able to do that. So that song just shows how it was sort of the beginning of a lot of problems they would have down the road. The next song comes on the Revolver album, and it's called For No One. So that was written on a ski trip that Jane and Paul were having in kind of early 66. Or was it late 65? I can't remember. It was one of those dates. But it was, if you hear the song, it's very, very tragic as well. It's kind of Paul coming to the realization that Jane is moving on, and that he realizes she might not need him as much as he needs her. And I think that was sort of a big realization to him at that point, and something he didn't expect, I think. And he was pretty heartbroken about that. And, you know, if you listen to the song, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful, wonderful song, but also so, so tragic, and another example of what would come in the future. And I would say not that it's about her, but I'm going to get more into the inspired songs. Fool on the Hill. So like I mentioned, Margaret, Jane's mother, taught Paul to play the recorder, which was a big, big influence on The Fool on the Hill. So I would say that Jane was a little bit responsible for that song as well. And I would say the last but very important song in, you know, the Jane Paul repertoire catalog is I Want to Hold Your Hand. I mean, that is the song that launched the Beatles into success, you know, worldwide. And he wrote that in the music room with John. They came up with it together, and it was the beginning for them and really the start of Beatlemania and everything that would come after. And thanks to, you know, the Ashers and their home and the family room, the family music room, they were able to, you know, create such a wonderful song that changed their lives completely, and it's thanks to Jane and her family. So I think it's wonderful. So there you have it. That's the wonderful, incredible, independent, successful Jane Asher. I just adore her, and I think that she's an incredible figure, and definitely someone that I hopefully would love to learn more about. I know I said that, you know, we'd probably never get her side of the story, and that's probably, you know, true, but oh god, I don't know about you guys, but I'd love to know more about her side of the things, of the story, and what she has to say about that. But, you know, that's okay if we don't either. That's her life, so, you know, totally cool. But I'm so happy I was able to find out more about this incredible lady, and particularly about how great her current marriage is and how sweet Gerald is and wonderful. And also, last fun fact, as I'm wrapping things up, Gerald Scarfe actually did a lot of the cartooning for the Pink Floyd The Wall album, which is so, so cool because, you know, rock world's coming together. But yeah, that's another interesting fun fact about Miss Jane Asher. And you know, another cool thing before I wrap up, I did not know that she was in Death of a Funeral. I don't know if any of you have watched that movie. It came out, I think, in like 2007 or something. But it's an incredibly funny British comedy about a family who come together for their father's funeral. And I won't spoil it, but Jane is the widow, the mother of the matriarch of the family. And she just does an incredible job. And it was actually the first time I saw Jane act in anything when I saw that movie, and I loved it. I thought she was wonderful and hysterical because, you know, you kind of know that British comedy, the way that the British are very sarcastic and whatnot. So it was hilarious to be able to see Jane in that sort of role, and she's wonderful. So I highly suggest you all check out that movie because that was my first time actually seeing her on screen, and it was so fantastically funny. But yeah, as I wrap up, I want to say thank you again to all who have been listening, and yeah, it was such an honor to bring you this incredible episode on this wonderful, incredible lady. I'm always on my Instagram if you want to go ahead and chat. We can have more chats about Jane. I'll be posting on my stories some fun facts about her, because I'm starting to do this thing called Beetle Girl Fun Facts, where I do some kind of maybe unknown facts about these women and how cool and their lives were. So I'll do some more fun facts about Jane. And yeah, I'm so glad that you all are listening, and I'm so honored to have brought you this latest episode. And I'm so excited because we are going to talk about probably one of the most well-known Beetle Girls, I'd say. She's kind of the one that everybody knows a lot about. And her book is another wonderful, fabulous read. It's called Wonderful Tonight, and we will be talking about the incredible, wonderful, incredibly beautiful Patty Boyd. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode. Bye!